Early in the church's history, the number of brethren increased dramatically. And as we saw from our scripture reading in Acts chapter 6, that increase caused some growing pains. Circumstances caused the church in Jerusalem to have a large number of widows who are needed of care. And some felt that preference was being given to the native widows, the ones who were local, the Hebrew widows, over those who came from foreign lands. And so the apostles were approached with the problem, but they rightly pointed out that they had their own work to do. The additional workload of personally caring for the widows would prevent them from accomplishing their first duties. Now, isn't that often the case? Men are placed at the head and suddenly they're expected to do everything. And the solution was to ask the church instead to select men, seven men of good reputation to handle this business. Now, these men were never called deacons. They were asked to serve tables. But one of the things we need to take a look at is the word deacon is transliterated from the Greek. And it's the Greek word for servant. It's translated in a variety of ways depending on the context. It can be translated as servant, or minister, or deacon, or waiter, depending on the context of which it's used. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, so we're going to start there. I want you to take note of it. Acts chapter 6. And in verse 1 it says, "At this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food." That word serving there can be translated as distribution or ministration. And also is in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, sometimes translated as ministry. It's the female, the feminine form of the noun, and it's used for whenever there's an act of service being performed. In Acts chapter 2, or it's Acts chapter 6, verse 2, sorry, it says, "So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables.'" And there is a verb form of the same word. It denotes an action of serving. It's also the same word that we find in 1 Timothy 3. Hold your finger in Acts chapter 6 and look at 1 Timothy 3 and verse 8. It says, "Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued, or addicted to much wine, or fond of sordid gain." Or sorry, I want to verse 10. And in verse 10 it says, "These men must first be tested. Let them serve as deacons if they have been beyond reproach." The word "serve" there is that female, that verb form of the word for deacon. Also in verse 13, it says, "For these have also served well as deacons, obtained for themselves a high standard and a great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." Again, that "served well" is referring to the verb form of the word deacon. We also noted that these men were selected and were appointed to the work by, they were selected by the church, but they were appointed to the work by the apostles. It's the same word there that appointed that Paul uses to tell Titus in Titus chapter 1 verse 5 to appoint elders in the church. These men held an office or a duty or an obligation. They were appointed to a job. The only thing that's missing out of Acts chapter 6 is the masculine form of the word for deacon, and that's usually used as the title of an office. It's in 1 Timothy 3, verse 8, and also verse 12, when it says deacons there. It's the masculine form of the word for serve. And because the title's missing, Many are uncomfortable calling these men deacons. But you know, personally, I think it's hard to avoid the conclusion. Even if they weren't formally holding the office of deacon, they were appointed to some type of office. All would agree, though, that these seven men set the precedence for what became the formal office of deacon. So let's note a few facts about these men. First off, these men were selected by the church. They were not selected by the apostles. The apostles appointed them to the office, but they weren't selected by the apostles. The apostles pointed them to a specific task, in this case, serving tables to take care of the widows. These men were not serving the apostles. They were serving the church. They were helping the church accomplish one of its duties. They were not relieving the apostles of one of their duties. The apostles already stated serving tables would distract them from their duties. They saw that serving tables was not one of the things they were called to do. So these men were not serving the apostles, they were serving the church in the duties that they were carrying out. One of the things we have to take note of is that when we talk about service, service is a Christian duty that's not limited to certain people. We are called to serve just the fact that we are Christians. We're called, for instance, to serve God. Jesus, in fact, sets the tone in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and starting with verse 25. So Jesus called to them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." In verse 26, where it says, servant, or at least the translation I have, that's the word deacon as a title. But in this case, it's translated as a servant because it's not talking about necessarily a formal office. It's talking about all Christians are to be a servant. In verse 28, Jesus uses the verb form twice, to serve or minister, depending on your translation. In the kingdom, all are expected to act as servants and serve one another. All are servants of Christ. Take a look at John chapter 12, and in verse 26. John chapter 12, verse 26. "If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." All followers, then, are servants of Christ. It's part of what it means to be a Christian. And in the judgment scene that Christ discussed in Matthew 25, starting with verse 41, Matthew 25, verse 41, "And then he will also say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' And then they will say to, they themselves will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?'" There's a charge in serving, ministering to the downtrodden. Jesus says that they were serving him. In verse 45 says, "And he answered to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me.'" When we serve our fellow man, we are serving Christ. is expected as a duty of every Christian. Not only are we serving God, but we are also expected to serve the church and to serve our fellow Christians. Paul stated that in delivering the relief funds to Jerusalem, that he was ministering or serving the church. Take a look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 25. He says, now I'm going to Jerusalem serving the saints. He's bringing this relief fund to Jerusalem, and it is a service to Christians in doing so. The relief was, in fact, relief is a word for an act of service. Take a look at Acts chapter 11 and in verse 29. Acts 11, verse 29, and the proclamation that any of the disciples who had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief or the service of the brethren living in Judea. Other men were also selected by the church to serve or minister the gift. It wasn't just Paul who delivered it. Paul insisted that others would be serving as well. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting with verse 18, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 18, we have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through to all the churches. And not only this, he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord himself, to show our readiness, taking precautions so that no one will discredit us in the administration of this generous gift. For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So other men were also selected to serve. And it talks about one, we don't know the person's name, but one man also was then selected to serve in the delivery of the funds that were being sent. Later on in the Hebrew letter, Hebrews chapter 6, and in verse 10, the writer compliments Christians for their service, their ministry. In Hebrews 6, starting with verse 10, for God is not so unjust as to forget your work and the love with which you have shown toward his name, having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Every one of us is to serve. When we serve one another, we are serving God. We work for each other. And God takes note of that. We serve as each of us are able to and has the ability that God supplies to us. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 10. As each had received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In fact, some, we were told, have the gift of service. Take a look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and in verse 6. Since we have gifts that are different in according to the grace which is given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Some people have a particular gift at serving other people. It's to be made use of because that's something God has supplied us with. And there are different ways to serve. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 12 and in verse 5. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 5. There are a variety of ministries in the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all people. But each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gift of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and of another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, to another the variations of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works on all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. There are different ways to serve. There are different gifts that God has given. He talks about the miraculous gifts in these days. But that's still true about other gifts as well. We have different talents. We have different abilities. What we have, we use in the service of God's people. There's examples of service that we can find in the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, Now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they devoted themselves to the ministry to the saints. Stephanas' household was the first to be converted in the region of Achaia, and that whole household was devoted to serving the saints in a way, whatever way they were able to. And also in Romans chapter 16, Romans chapter 16, and starting with verse 1, it says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria, that you receive her in the Lord in the manner worthy of the saints, that you help her in whatever manner that she may need of you, for she herself has been a helper of many and of myself as well. Here's a woman who is a servant. She is serving the church. She is serving the Apostle Paul. She served many people. Paul says whatever she needs, make sure she gets it because she works. She serves other people. Tychicus in Ephesians chapter 6. And in verse 21. But you know about my circumstances and how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister, a servant in the Lord, will make everything known to you. He delivered Paul's letter. He made sure that they had all the background information. Also about Tychicus is in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. So here's another way service was done. Delivering the letters, bringing information, being the form of communication for the church. All this was a work of service. So all of us are to be servants. We can also see the apostles being servants. They set the example. After all, in going back to Acts chapter 6, look at verse 4. The reason why they said they couldn't serve tables. It says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They were serving by spreading the word of God. That was their work of service. In fact, Paul said it was an act of service that was given to him, particularly to spread to the Gentiles, by the Lord. In Acts chapter 20, and in verse 24, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. This is the work Christ assigned to him. It was his service to perform. In particular, Jesus assigned Paul the task of reaching the Gentiles in Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him much how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul was chosen by Christ to spread his gospel. He was the apostles to the Gentiles. It was his particular service. Again in Romans, this time in 11. Romans chapter 11. Starting with verse 13. Romans 11 verse 13. But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry. This is my service. I am the apostle to the Gentiles. This is how Paul served Christ. If somehow I may be moved to jealousy, my fellow countrymen, to save some of them. And in doing so, he hoped to save the Jews as well. And he did this act of service in Acts chapter 21. Acts 21, starting with verse 18. And the following day, Paul went with us to James and all the elders present. And after he had greeted them, he began to relate one by one the things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry, through his service. So the apostles were servants. They served Christ by spreading the gospel. Well, that means then also preachers are servants as well. The act of an evangelist is an act of service. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and notice in verse 5, it says, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. The work of an evangelist is a service, and so therefore it is a ministry. Paul and Apollos were examples of ministers. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verse 5. What then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants, that's the word for deacons, by the way, through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God is causing the growth. So Paul and Apollos were examples of people who served. They were appointed to a duty to spread the gospel in this particular case. Timothy is another example in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And in verse 2, and we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel, to strengthen and encourage you in the faith. Timothy is a worker. He's serving Christ and through the spreading of the gospel. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not counting their trespasses against them, and he committed to us the word of reconciliation. God reconciled the world to Christ. Preachers are ministering by spreading the news of that. The message of reconciliation is an act of service for God, but it's also an act of service for Christians as well. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 8. I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. And preachers, of course, are involved in the instruction of brethren, so it is an act of service to brethren as well. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 6, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the word of faith and of sound doctrine which you have been following. So in all of this, the whole point is there are people who serve in the church. We haven't even talked about this, just briefly about the duties of deacons. We mentioned what happened in Acts chapter 6. But all Christians are to serve. They're to serve God, they're to serve their fellow Christians by doing God's work. The apostles serve by spreading the word of God. The preachers serve by teaching God's word. You know what? Even governments serve. Even governments are servants. Take a look at Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, starting with verse 3. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God for your good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword in vain. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. When government enforces laws, putting the bad guys away and encouraging righteous behavior, they're serving God. They're acting on God's behalf. And so all Christians are servants. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 11, there are several offices that are pointed out, but notice what the offices are there for. It says, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. All these duties are to encourage Christians to serve Christ by building up the church. In fact, Thyatira was congratulated for their service. Take a look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 19. I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and your deeds of late are greater than at first. They served Christ, and Christ took note of that. So when we're talking about service, yes, we're talking about a particular office. We're talking about deacons. But I want you to understand that like elders, elders are not somebody different. They're just Christians who are doing and exemplifying what all Christians ought to be doing. All Christians are to serve. That we have some that we will be appointing to serve the church as a duty. But it doesn't mean that they're the only ones serving. We all serve. We all serve God. We all serve our fellow man. We all serve the church in doing God's work. Got a whole lot more to talk about. But this was just the background of it. So I would hope that you consider that. We'll Lord willing, we'll continue this evening and dig into it deeper to look at the actual qualifications of the men who were asked to do an office or duty of service. But at this time, we'd like to leave an opportunity. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God, we'd like the prayers of our brethren on your behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.